John chapter 3 is where I'm going to be reading from this morning. This is what I'm going to use as our text today. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born again." "How can anyone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify of what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict: light has come into the world. The people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. All those who do evil hate the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But those who live by the truth come into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. The Word of God for the people of God. Nicodemus came to Jesus in the night. You know, in this story that John tells, he uses a lot of really cool imagery. Did you notice that? I really believe that it is important for us, when we read the Bible, to let the imagery do its work. What are some of the images after I've read what I just read? If you were with me, now were you with me as I read? Did a couple of you maybe drift off for a moment or two? That happens, doesn't it? Are there any images as I read that passage of Scripture, though, that just kind of jumped out at you? Do you remember any images? Help me out, somebody. Anybody?
What?
The wind. Yes, after yesterday and this week. The wind. What else? What's another image? Now, I don't have my hearing aid in today, so I got to... The darkness and the light. That's right. The contrast between the light and the darkness. What else? The snakes. The snake? Okay. The snake. And the snake on a pole. A snake on a pole. Anything else that stood out to you? What?
Born again,
a second birth, a rebirth. Now, maybe that's a good way to say that, a rebirth, or birth itself. That's pretty graphic, isn't it? Any of y'all ever been present at a birth? Well, you moms have been, right? You were there. How many of you dads have been present for births? Boy, I was. I remember for two of the three. The first one was a cesarean section. It was an emergency cesarean section. And I didn't get to be in for that one, but the next two I was in for. And boy, I was in for it, I'll tell you. I really was. But it says Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. That's the first one, the night and the light, the darkness and the light. Nicodemus came to Jesus in the night. Now, there's a lot of discussion about why he came at night. Have you heard any discussion about why Nicodemus came to Jesus at night?
He didn't
want to
be seen. Pardon me? He didn't want to be seen.
He didn't want to be seen. Okay. Anything else that you've ever heard? I've also heard that was the only time that he and Jesus could get together, because Jesus was busy and Nicodemus was busy. He was a ruler. So maybe that was the only time they could get together. What I'd like to point out, though, is often we do not seek God until it is night in our lives. What do you think about that? Oftentimes we do not seek God until it is night in our lives. However, there seems to be a great deal of darkness in our lives most of the time. Maybe another way to say that is it seems that most of us are in the dark all the time. Come on. Now, sometimes they're darker than others, but there doesn't seem to ever be enough light. It seems that night is a good time to come to Jesus, though. What do you think? Jesus welcomed Nicodemus. He met him there in the dark. Do you feel like Jesus has ever met you in the dark? And he worked with Nicodemus to find his way through the darkness. He indicated to Nicodemus that there were snakes on the path, but he didn't have to be afraid of the snakes. Jesus told Nicodemus to find his way home, he would have to be reborn. Brother Bob, that's an interesting word, isn't it? An interesting term. Born again. Now, we hear that a lot. It's from a Greek word, though, that can mean either born again, or the Greek term can also mean born from above. And there's a lot of discussion as to whether it means born again or whether it means born from above. Let me just say, without going too far into this, that I just think it means both. How's that sound? I could have run for office, couldn't I have? Jesus said, if you're going to find the kingdom of God, if you're going to see the kingdom of God, and you mentioned a moment ago, someone over here, that one of the powerful images here is the contrast between light and darkness. And I think there's that idea of the night and the dark and not being able to see. And Jesus uses this term here, and John writes it down. This is how John tells the story, because he's got a point that he wants to get across from this story. And he quotes Jesus as saying, if you want to see God's kingdom, he said, you're going to have to be reborn. See God's kingdom. If you want to see God's kingdom, if you want a vision of what God means to be, you're going to be reborn, Nicodemus. John talks about coming into the light from above. He puts those words down on paper for us to read. He says that they are from Jesus. What I think he's saying is that we've got to set our minds on higher things. We've got to gain a new perspective. Now, people talk a lot about thinking outside of the box. Have you ever heard that before? That's not what Jesus said. Well, it's kind of what Jesus said, but it's not exactly what Jesus said. Jesus did not tell Nicodemus that he needed to think outside of the box. Jesus told Nicodemus he needed to get a new box. You ever feel that way about yourself? It's true not only of Nicodemus, but if we want to see God's kingdom, if we want to see the vision of what God intends for us to live, for the world's purpose, we've got to get, Jesus teaches us, a new box. Now, Nicodemus said, how can a man be reborn? How can a man be born again? Some say that John uses a play on words here, that he uses in the Greek both meanings of the term, born again and born from above, because he's kind of got this play on words going here, that we must have a rebirth. We must get a new box. We must get a new paradigm. A paradigm shift has to take place for us to be able to see God's plan, God's will, God's way. We've got to get a new box. We don't need to think out of the box. We need to get a new box. What are our boxes made out of? What is your box made out of? You talk about thinking outside of the box. If you're going to think outside of the box, what's the box you usually think of made out of? Come on. Huh? Your reality. And what's your reality made out of?
Experiences.
What else? Perceptions of those experiences. What else? It's also what?
Social pressures.
Interpretations. Stories. What are some of the stories about our experiences that our boxes are built out of? Here's a story. Money makes us successful. Have you heard that story? I am not loved. I have to be right about everything all the time. You say, I know people who believe that. How about this one? Everything is my fault. My wife says it is. I'm sorry, baby. I must control everything. Is that a story? Is that a story that some of us live out of? And here's another one. I'm a victim. I have no control. I have no power. I have no choice. I can never win. Then there's the story that some of us tell ourselves. We must win at any cost. Winning is all there is. And then there are the stories about what winning is that defines winning. And how about this one? We must get even when we are wronged. How many of you know that story? We must get even when we are wronged. Or here's another one. Not only must we get even, we must hit back twice as hard. What do you say? How do you say that? I don't get even, I get what? I get ahead, right? Well, stories, may I say this? Stories are like snakes. They can bite us. You believe that? They can cripple us. And eventually, if we're bitten by them enough, they can kill us. So how do we get a new box? Jesus said if you're going to see things God's way, if you're going to see things the way God wants us to see them, we're going to have to be reborn. We're going to have to get a new vision. We're going to have to get new sight. We're going to have to learn to think differently than we've ever thought before. We're not only going to have to think outside of the box, we're going to have to destroy the old box, and we're going to have to get a new box. But where do we get a new box from? Well, that word, that term that Jesus used for reborn is born from where? Above. Can you teach an old dog new tricks? Can we get new stories? I told you I don't have my hearing aid on, so you can say stuff. I sent it away. They're fixing it. So the next time I preach, you better watch what you say, okay? There is something, and you guys know I'm a counselor. That's my day job. Actually, I got my counseling stuff after I'd been preaching for quite a while. But one of the things that I've learned as a counselor, as a psychotherapist, is something called the plasticity of the brain. Have any of y'all heard of that before? The plasticity, my wife has. It means that our brains are malleable, that they can heal, that they can change. And it doesn't matter how old you are, you can still form new habits. Do you believe that? You can still learn new stories. You can still change the way you think and the way you act and the way you behave. Used to we believe that people, once they got to a certain age, they were just set in stone. They would never change. They'd never be any different. Science has proven that that's not true. Now, a lot of people don't change. I know that. It doesn't mean that we're not able to change. Aren't you glad to hear that? Some of you are, some of you aren't. You notice everybody hates change, right? Not even a wet baby likes change. They cry all the way through it, don't they? I'm going to take that out of the sermon next time I preach it. But we can change. And what we're talking about is getting a new box. And the question I ask is, what goes into building a new box? It comes from above. And here's another question. What comes down from above? Maybe a good thing to look at here in John chapter 3 is what Jesus says. Nobody has been to heaven except for the one who, what? Came from heaven. And who's he talking about? Himself. Jesus comes down from heaven. The Holy Spirit from heaven has given us the Scriptures. God, through Christ, gives us grace. Do we get gifts of people in our lives from above? Are some of the people that come into our lives gifts from God? Yeah. Yeah, I mentioned last week when I preached about entertaining strangers, and the Hebrew writer, whoever he or she was, says that oftentimes people entertain angels when they entertain strangers, not realizing they're angels. And the word angel simply means a messenger. It's sometimes a heavenly being, but sometimes it's just a messenger from God, somebody that God has sent into our lives to bless us. Gifts of people. Do people help us build new boxes? Somebody told me a while back to watch a movie. The title of the movie, it's on Netflix, is The Same Kind of Different as Me. How many of you guys have seen that movie? Anybody? Some of you have. And it's about that. It's about the fact that when we look at people that we think are so different from us, it's amazing to find out that we oftentimes find out we're not so different after all. And many, 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 many times in allowing ourselves to interact with people that we normally would not interact with, what happens is that God uses those people to teach us stuff and to grow us. Oh, I think that's pretty much what Jesus talks about in another place in the Scripture, where he says, don't just love people like you, because he says, what benefit is there in that? Benefiting from loving means loving people who are really weird. Because oftentimes, they teach us things. They help us to learn things. They help us to find lost parts of ourselves. Gifts of people. Paul wrote in Ephesians that God has given us gifts of people in the church. Pastors. Aren't pastors wonderful gifts? Now, Sandy, you tell Jim I preached that today, okay? And we want him back here. I want to hear him preach next Sunday. Amen? Oh, yeah. And I'm glad you guys let me preach, too. Thank you very much. I really like to preach. Can you tell? I love it. Pastors, teachers. Are teachers gifts? Yes, they are. In the church, yes. But not only in the church. Tanya and Chuck? Yeah. Any other teachers here? Any teachers? School teachers? Were you a teacher? Retired teacher? How many teachers? Oh, Deanna, yes. I see you. You can't hide. Yes. How many of you have been blessed by good teachers? I remember when I first went to Bible college. I went to a little fundamentalist Bible college in West Virginia. Don't hold any of that against me, okay? But I had a professor there. His name was Tim Hudson. And Tim wasn't much older than I was back then. But one of the things that Tim taught me was, he said, I will never be responsible tomorrow. He said, don't hold me responsible tomorrow for my opinions today. What does that mean? That means leave yourself room to grow. Build a new box. God gives us the opportunity to build a new box. He gives us hope. He gives us love. He gives us the Holy Spirit. All of these are things that help us to build new boxes, help us to be reborn, help us to see with new eyes. We talked in Sunday school this morning. Tanya taught the class, and she used the old hymns and the stories behind the old hymns. And one of the old hymns that we looked at was Amazing Grace. How many of y'all know that song? Can we sing it together? I bet you know it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Learning to see with new eyes. John Newton wrote that song. John Newton had been a slave trader. He'd been a wicked man. He'd been a man who had the blood of human beings and children on his hands. And yet, John Newton got a new box one day. And he began to put his faith not in the world or anything in the world or any of those old stories he'd been taught or that old box he'd been living out of. He began to put his faith in the gospel. A better story. All the stuff that comes down from God had gone into building him a new box. And so he wrote that song, I once was blind, but now I what? See. He became a preacher. And he who had been a slave trader became instrumental in Great Britain in putting that ungodly trade to death in that country. And it cost him. But he was, by God's grace, victorious. Can you teach an old dog new tricks?
Yes.
Yes, you certainly can. Just ask John Newton. Father John Newton, by the way, was an Episcopal priest later on. What it all boils down to, Jesus is the serpent on the pole. In the Old Testament, the people had snakes that bit them in the wilderness. Well, God didn't remove the snakes. He didn't save the people from being bitten. In Christ, even in the Old Testament, the serpent was hung on the pole, and when the people looked at the serpent, they were healed. God gave them that as opportunity for healing. In Christ's death on the cross, what Jesus is talking about here is he is foretelling his own death, and he's showing that in his death on the cross, and the scripture teaches this, he crushed the old serpent. He crushed him through his obedience to and his trust in God. Where Adam failed by not trusting God and bringing death, Jesus was triumphant in trusting God enough even to go through death, believing that God could resurrect him and that through his faith and his obedience, he could open up the gateway for all of us to overcome death itself and for all of us to find the way home to living God's way, the way that God intended for it to be lived all along. He gives us power, you and me, to crush the serpent's head. The serpent's already defeated. Jesus defeated the serpent, which we know is Satan, which first showed up in the garden, and he's been all through the Bible. And just understand, he's been defeated. And now, Paul writes and teaches us, we have the power to crush his head, to put him under our feet. There was a preacher up in Oklahoma, his name was Riley Donica, who used to preach a sermon, and the title of the sermon was Stomping Snakes. That really sounds like an Oklahoma sermon, doesn't it? Stomping snakes.
How do you stomp snakes? You got to get a new box to do it. Come on. You believe that?
Believing God loves us. Believing God loves us. The wind blows in the new birth, blows in the new box. We can't see it, but we can sure feel it. We don't understand it, but we can sure see the power that it brings. Believing God loves us. Believing that God loves us opens us up to a new perspective. It helps us to understand that in spite of snakes and being bitten, we have a better story. And because of that better story, we can begin to write a better story. And I want to close today with Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. Now, you may be tempted to drift away. So if you are, go ahead and get a Bible and open it up so you can follow along, okay? Luke chapter 6. Let me make sure I'm giving you the right passage of Scripture here. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. Luke chapter 6. Beginning with verse 27. Now listen. But to you who are listening, amen? Are you listening? I say, love your enemies. That's a new story, isn't it? I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit or what benefit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. Even if you do good to those who are good to you, what benefit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be what? Great. And you don't have to wait till you go to heaven to get started. Did you know that? You'll learn and you'll grow and you'll become a better person. Come on. Do you like that? I like it. The scripture says, love your enemies, do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. And you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, listen to this, give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And all God's people said,
our King over all.
the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, by God's grace, may all of us go out from this place, and may we receive and believe and walk in a new vision, a new box, the gospel. Amen.